Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski. He is the Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jim, we tried to tell people that this was coming on the last Point Forward Podcast. Our listeners know that we were really concerned that the Bucks might actually cut part ways with DeMarcus Cousins. And it happened. It actually happened right in, like, in the immediate moments after a game, in fact. And Bucks Twitter kind of lost it. A lot of people, I don't think, expected that to happen. So this is the biggest news. Bucks have lost three or four since we chatted last. So that obviously is something we'll talk about. But they do end up deciding that DeMarcus Cousins is not going to be here for the rest of the season. They cut him. He winds up signing elsewhere. A lot of people were taken aback. I think Boogie was pretty popular in the limited amount of time he was there. But I want to revisit kind of why we thought that wasn't such an obvious call for the Bucks and why this might sneak up on people like it did. And then also, maybe sort of decide, sort of ruminate on whether this is the right move. I think it is for the reasons we discussed. But give me the sense of the lay of the land after news broke that DeMarcus Cousins would not be back.
Yeah, so look, the deadline was Friday. We figured they were going to make a move beforehand because the team had to fly out Thursday before they got to Brooklyn. You're not going to fly a guy to a city and then cut him, right? So the Bucks were basically going to make a decision after that game against the Raptors, and they did. And probably slightly beforehand, too, with DeMarcus Cousins. And look, they needed a big man to help with Giannis and Bobby Portis. DeMarcus Cousins provided that. But look, in the games he was in, yeah, he had a couple double-doubles, provided some offense. But if you were really watching it, JR, I mean, he doesn't really run and jump very well anymore, which is not his fault. That's several years of major leg injuries. And this is a defensive-minded team. For his contributions on offense, I think there were issues defensively. But more than that, you couple that with he's going to cost them $3 million for the rest of the season. Yeah, and maybe that's what bothered people the most, JR. I don't know how you read it. It was a $3 million tax bill was coming due. It's not just a minimum signing anymore for a team in the luxury tax like the Bucks are. And I think they were looking ahead and like, okay, is this guy going to help us win a championship? I don't know. The Clippers had to bench him last year to upset Utah. Like he wasn't playing for them, right? And were the Bucks going to say, this is a guy that's going to give us 9 to 12 minutes? They clearly made that decision that probably not, and it wasn't going to be worth that tax bill.
I saw someone say this that wasn't me, and it might have been Frank Madden or Dan Schaefer, one of the more distinguished members of Bucks Twitter, pointing out that you really have to think about it in terms of, can Boogie Cousins help you beat the Nets in a right. seven-game series? Can he help you beat the Heat or the Bulls in a seven-game series? The question, the answer is not the same for every team there. But for the most part, going back to sort of what's going on with the Clippers, it isn't clear that he can help you at that point in the season. And if he can't help you then, you don't want to pay for him to be here in the meantime. And I think it's just, there's a shock that comes with it because he's a popular name. He's a popular player, because he is a name guy with a great history. He seemed to fit in culturally very well. Like, he was kind of given that edge. He was kind of, he's an easy guy to root for, but he probably doesn't help. And I mean, you have to contrast that with Wes Matthews getting, you know, getting his contract guaranteed. Wes Matthews can shut down an opponent's top scorer. Like, he could match up with Kevin Durant. That's why Wes Matthews is going to stay here for the full season. He is a guy who can help you at the end of the year. So you kind of have to look at it like that. As frustrating as it is to lose a popular player, that's just the way it goes, because the Bucks aren't playing for the regular season anything. They're playing for what happens, you know, once we get to the early part of summer.
Yeah, and you're right, Jared. Not one move for the Bucks at this juncture of their, you know, franchise history is done in a vacuum. So you know, did the Bucks ownership really want to pay $3 million for DeMarcus Cousins? No, they'll pay $3 million for Wesley Matthews, because that's the lens that Bucks fans should, I'm not going to tell them how to feel, JR, but I will try to say, like, that's how they should look at a thing. Feel about it however you want. Happy, sad, angry, disagree. But that's the proper context. Is yes, Wesley Matthews can help you on Kevin Durant and James Harden, and can help you on DeMar DeRozan and Jimmy Butler. DeMarcus Cousins isn't really doing a lot of that. Like, I mean, granted, we haven't seen how Billy Donovan is going to run out the Bulls against the Bucks, but we do know how those other teams are. And okay, they're going to need a third big, you know. Luke Kornet isn't going to be that guy, I don't think. They'll figure that out. You know, maybe Brook Lopez does come back at some point at the end of the year, and that's that. And they're just going to try to patchwork it till then. But that's the perfect thing to bring up, is the Wesley Matthews. That's the long term. Wesley Matthews is going to get playoff minutes. So they're going to pay the bill for that one. And I think that's definitely the right way to sort of contextualize that series of moves or non-moves for the Bucks.
On the court, it has not been pretty for the Bucks, and since we last chatted, they've played four games. Oddly enough, the one win in those four games is a pretty impressive one, going to Brooklyn and winning their 121-109. Just a very impressive showing, but they're still battling through COVID issues. They're still battling through some illnesses, injuries, whatnot, seemingly getting back to full strength. I think Pat Connaughton is going to be back. Drew Holiday's got a bulky ankle coming off the health and safety protocols, but he'll be back soon, presumably. Giannis is back. But the worst loss of the week in sports was the Indianapolis Colts finding a way to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday in a must-win playoff situation against one of the worst teams in the league. But it is rivaled by the Bucks losing at home to the Detroit Pistons on Monday. That is a game that took place between us recording and posting the last podcast. I took for granted, made a joke about how the winning streak probably has continued to seven games at that point. Nope, I was there that night as a fan. You were there, I think, covering it. And the Bucks laid an egg against a team that had six wins, a team that they have dominated. And quite honestly, like, Sadiq Bey, really? I mean, it doesn't really matter to me who's on the floor. If Sadiq Bey is lighting you up, that seems weird to me. And I know we've talked a lot over the last year about how this team moved from a deep team to a team that has a real top-heavy presence. And if those guys aren't clicking or are unavailable, you know, they don't really have the bench guys. They're not designed to go 10 deep. They're designed to win in the playoffs. That worked out, obviously, last year. I just feel like the depth might be just not all the way there, you know, and then they lose to the Raptors. Granted, they were very shorthanded in that game, but, you know, lose to the Hornets at home that are on the road, that's forgivable. The Hornets are very good, but, like, you know, I guess I don't know ultimately what I'm trying to say, other than this team is a roller coaster, and I have doubts that there are times like these, I doubt that this team can repeat. I just don't feel like they have all the pieces there, unless you're getting primo nights from your big three every night. You're not going to do that. And someone's going to get hurt because they're all in their 30s. Well, not Giannis, but the other two are in their 30s. Like, you can't, nothing is promised. Just ask the Nets. So I don't know, Jim. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm down. I'm down about a team that's lost three or four, which is silly because they won their previous six. But I don't know. Talk me off the ledge or something. Do something to assuage me.
Well, I guess, you know, look, even Bobby Portis referenced the Houston game that was stuck in your craw last year.
Ugh, right. April 29th.
Like bad regular season loss. And you know, and Bobby was trying to say, like, hey, like, you know, every game matters. Seeding matters. And yes, the team, for the most part, is going to say they don't really care about And that's true. Like, when you're the defending champions, you're allowed to have that mindset, I think.
Absolutely.
And have that sort of runway. Whereas I think last year for a team that had never accomplished anything, I thought it was fairly audacious. Losing to Detroit is, look, that's a years-long winning streak. Maybe the math says they were due.
And I mean, random stuff happens. One loss isn't the end of the world.
I think what we can take from it is, look, they're down 16 or whatever it was at Detroit. They try to rally, come up short. They're down 14 against Toronto, rally, come up short. They're down 15 to Charlotte, rally, come up short. Bobby Portis said in Charlotte here the other day, JR, like, look, our third quarters are trash. He just flat out said it. He's like, we got to be real with ourselves. So there are some things to figure out. But then you look at the Brooklyn game where they just smashed Brooklyn for the second time this year. They played such phenomenal defense against James Harden that Harden basically was taken out of the game mentally because he couldn't get to the free throw line. And James, to a degree, looked like he quit. So on one hand, you're like, how does this Bucks team do that? And then also, and I'm not saying they're a switch-turning team, because I think when you have Giannis at Antetokounmpo, like, Giannis is switch, his switch never goes off. But it is fair to kind of wonder, like, this is a weird week in that way. I don't know. I think it makes you wonder, like, oh, will they have this sort of oddball performance in the second round of the playoffs, which prevents them from getting here? I don't think so, JR, because in that sense, like, you have seven games against one team where even if you have that conquer, like they did against Atlanta at home in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, yes, there was no – right? You're like, how did you just lose this game at home to Atlanta after you just beat the Nets? Like, so I think that's sort of been there with this squad, JR. I wouldn't extrapolate it too far to say, like, oh, they're – you know, they won't rise to the occasion. But it is, I think, one – you know, you're like, okay – you kind of want to beat some of these bad teams so you're not the four seed, right? Or the five seed, whatever it may be. Like, they're, yeah, injuries and illness aside, I think they'll rip off another few games in a row and maybe make things right. But it is fairly, I don't know if a concern for the third quarter, JR, but it's there. I mean, they're thinking about it, and that's enough to make you think, okay, they want to fix it, right?
Yeah, I think you've kind of talked me off the ledge. I mean, I'll acknowledge I'm a windsock here. Like, oh, they've won five games in a row. They're going to win the NBA title. Oh, they've lost three of four. They're going to not make the playoffs. And, you know, even after losing three of four, they're 2.5 games behind the Bulls. They're tied for the third spot in the East. Like, they're going to be fine. They know they're going to be fine. This happened last year at times, too, after they were the undisputed best team in the East the previous 2 years, and they won everything. They have, I don't want to say take the foot off the gas, but they have learned to roll with the punches, and certainly they were at their best last year. Looking ahead a little bit, because we are again recording on a Monday when there is a Monday night game, a game in Charlotte that we do not know the outcome for. I will not predict a win in after last week's debacle on my part. There is a game though coming up in 3 days where the Golden State Warriors are coming to town, coming to Pfizer Forum. That'll be Thursday night again, January 13th. Very exciting. Circle it on your calendar sort of occasion. The Warriors are very, very good, as everyone knows, and they just got pretty good player back. Klay Thompson coming back. Sunday night it was sort of an incredible scene, you know, out in is it Oakland? I always feel like I say that wrong if I say exactly where they play their games. But very excited with the fans were, of course, to see Klay Thompson return. He'd been out for, I think, what was it, like 940 days between his last action with the injuries. It's been really tough, and he is very beloved there, obviously. He's a tremendous player. Interesting, I'll throw a curveball at you here that we didn't discuss beforehand. I'm trying to compare him to Chris Middleton a little bit, because Chris Middleton is that second scorer. He's not as, you know, dynamite a shooter as Klay Thompson, but he certainly was every bit the Klay Thompson role for the Bucks in the playoffs last year, and is a very good player. But I don't feel like Chris Middleton gets anywhere near the fanfare that Klay Thompson does. And I don't even mean that in a national sense. I mean that in a local sense. Like, you could see the local community just being like, last night was all about Klay. That was a phenomenal night to be at that game. Klay Thompson is like, they love him there, and he's pretty beloved around the league. Chris Middleton, I don't know. I don't know if it's the flash, if it's the headband. Maybe it's the Klay Thompson headband. I'm not sure. Or the videos of him driving a boat to work. I'm not sure. Chris Middleton doesn't do any of that stuff. But I know we're kind of rehashing the past here if I'm like, oh, Chris Middleton doesn't get enough respect, because I think he gets fine, plenty enough respect. And certainly after a championship, he gets what he deserves. He gets his due. But I find those players comparable in a way, and yet there just doesn't seem to be the same magnetism. I don't know. I feel like I'm inventing stuff out of thin air, Jim. Am I just rambling?
It's you know, it's kind of interesting in a way. Like, look, Klay came of age with a dynasty.
Indeed, yes.
You know, and
I would say Middleton did too. Not a dynasty, but Middleton was here for the growing pains too.
Yeah, but it's different. Like, it was a dynasty. They won championships, and as Steph Curry was changing the game of basketball, you know, Steph or Klay Thompson was part of that. And that's the luster that comes with things. Like, if maybe the Bucks, if the Warriors dynasty ended and we are now talking about the Bucks having won two of three or three straight titles, if they had done the job, you know, 3 years ago in Bud's first year or last year, right? Like, and look, it's funny because a non basketball person might think you're crazy, but look, from you know, Klay Thompson, you know, his 4 year run, 21 points a game, 47% from the field, 42% from three, 85% free throw, right? Chris Middleton from 18 to 21, 20 points a game, 47% shooting, not as good from three, 39% from three, 88% free throw. Like, it's their numbers aren't that far off. You're right about that. But Chris Middleton isn't part of the Splash Brothers. Like, he's not hitting seven threes. Like, he's not Giannis. And we've talked about Giannis. Like, Giannis isn't Steph in that sort of way of MVPs and the way they play, right? So, you know, in terms of the popularity, yeah, like, winning had a lot to do with it. You know, Klay's been to five straight All-Star games. Chris was always the bubble guy, right? But a really cool story, like a medical marvel, Jared. Like, think about it. Like, Kevin Durant comes back from an Achilles and is otherworldly. Klay Thompson is back from an Achilles. Like, Dominique Wilkins was the only guy who, like, really ever did that when we were – I mean, Wes Matthews – came back from an Achilles, but he wasn't at that level. Rudy Gay, right? I mean, like, Achilles is, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is different, was a different player. So, really cool thing to see, and really sets up a really, really fun game at Fiserv. Hopefully nothing happens between now and then where with protocol and injury and we actually can get a game we're looking forward to, JR. That rarely happens right now, right? Like, that Brooklyn game. You know, Drew Holiday was out because of the health and safety protocol. Like, so hopefully things go well in these next few days as people listen to this and we actually get the thing we want to see at Fiserv Forum on Thursday.
Interesting litmus test coming then January 21st. We talked about that matchup with the first place Bulls. That's at Fiserv Forum. Bulls fans always travel well when their team is performing well. Right now, they're a little bit they're surprised. So you're going to have a lot of Bulls fans there. That's Friday night, and the Packers are going to play a playoff game on Saturday or Sunday. We don't know quite when yet, but for the most part, Wisconsin sports fan attention is going to be on the Packers. So I'll be curious to know what it's like inside that arena. Is it going to be 50-50 Bulls fans? Is it going to be just Bucks fans drowning out the Bulls fans? Like, what are we to expect there? It is still a mid-season, you know, mid-January game. We're not talking about a, you know, end-all be-all situation. But anyway, you wrote at jsonline.com, mid-season awards, mid-season sort of, you know, plaudits and whatnot, like best defensive player, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, best game. You could definitely go read this at jsonline.com, but your most valuable player might surprise people. It's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, you could certainly argue it is all the time, no matter what, but like you are going with Drew Holiday, and I certainly find that perfectly defensible. Give me a sense of why Drew Holiday is your first half player of the year for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I part of it was he had missed fewer games, and just what he was asked to do with Chris Middleton being out in health and safety protocol, and then Giannis being hurt, health and safety protocol. Like, Drew was asked to sort of change his role on an almost daily, weekly basis from one month to another. The fact that his month of December, which coincided with Giannis's missed games, was phenomenal after a slow start, you know, at least statistically. It was just, I just felt like everything he was doing, both ends of the court and the offensive load he was asked to take when both of the other two were out, was just, you know, yeoman's work. And yeah, of course, Giannis is going to be in the conversation for league most valuable player, but through the first, you know, 41 games, Drew Holiday played the most of them. And the Bucks were still really good and held serve when Middleton and Giannis were both out, and he had a lot to do with that. So for me, you know, at least through that first part of the season, JR, he was kind of the straw that stirred the drink, or at the very least was the guy who made sure the boat didn't totally turn sideways on the Bucks as they kind of worked through some things offensively, defensively.
Before we get to our weekly features, the trade deadline is 1 month away. As we sit and record this, it is exactly 1 month away. I think you could look at this Bucks roster. You see Semi Ojeleye and Rodney Hood. Some people might say, what is it you do here? And wonder if there are any moves to be made. You know, certainly those guys aren't... There have been some highs and lows, I guess, is the kind way to put it. What do you think the Bucks are up to here? Do you think they are going to try to tweak this roster? It's very hard to know if you're the average fan exactly how the salary cap comes into play and whether or not it's going to be prohibitive in terms of what they can do. But what are the Bucks? You know, if you're in that room right now, the head honcho room, what do you think the Bucks are ruminating right now?
Yeah, so this ties nicely back with the start of the conversation, JR, with DeMarcus Cousins, you know, because people are like, oh, why don't you just cut Semi Ojeleye or Rodney Hood? Right. That's already sunk cost. Like, you're not, you know, those, you're not going to get rid of guys you've already paid for, whereas DeMarcus Cousins, the Bucks no longer owe him anything. So, but to your point, what's interesting about that, JR, is you've kind of needed the bodies. Like, it's such a weird season, you know, like, so those guys have been out, but then they've also been in when other guys are out, and you're also still signing 10-day hardship guys. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing for John Horst to work through, is what works for the playoffs, but also what can get us to the playoffs in a way. Like, Semi Ojeleye maybe is trending down the Torrey Craig line. But if, you know, Bobby Portis goes back in the protocol or Giannis goes back in the protocol, like, you're going to kind of need a guy for 5 to 10 days, right? Yeah. What do you do with that? Like, not just to replace him, but just physically to play the thing. So, look, the Bucks, real quick, they have $2.4 million in trade exceptions. If they're going to use it, they've got to use it before February 4th. Torrey Craig's trade exception expires February 4th, $1.6 million. So the Bucks, just like the PJ Tucker thing, they may make a move, if they do, before the deadline. So that's the important thing, is DJ Augustine's trade exception and Sam Merrill's trade exception, they expire. Sam Merrill's, excuse me, is in the summer, but they, you know, DJ Augustine's February 7th. So the Bucks are on a shorter time window than I would say other teams. And it is Semi Ojeleye's, you know, 1.6, Rodney Hood's 1.6. Jordan Juarez 1.5. Like, those are the guys to me, JR. I mean, $3 million is George Hill tradable at $4 million? I don't think Dante DiVincenzo's going. I know fans for some reason seem to want to trade a starter off their championship team. That's a whole other podcast, JR. But I do think no doubt they're looking for a big that fits defensively. Think defense first if you're a Bucks fan, not so much offense. And also, that's the reminder, those trade exceptions come due before they expire before the deadline. So that's the other thing to keep in mind here.
All right. So those of you who weren't paying attention to that January 7th deadline with the DeMarcus Cousins situation, you have a new date to concern yourself with. That's Feb 4. And just know that the Bucks are going to need some activity done by then to get the full maximum amount of value that they have right. available to them. Okay, Jim, let's do our weekly features of the week. We are going to start with one quick buck.
Desmond Mason with authority. Man. Monte Ellis puts it up at the buzzer and got it.
No way.
Monte Ellis wins the game and then heads to the locker room.
No. You got to be kidding me. Charlie Villanueva. He has got the mojo going.
In your face, Brad Lohas.
The Milwaukee Bucks select Larry Sanders from Virginia Commonwealth University. Larry is not here.
One quick buck.
Just a reminder to people that they can let, you know, fire names to me if they want to reach out to me on Twitter to suggest one quick buck, a player, again, who was not a member of either championship team, is not an all-star. His number does not hang from the rafters. He is one of the in-between guys, the guys that you still talk about. Remember this guy, remember that guy. That's what we're going for here. And this one is a deep, deep cut. We're kind of back in that Frank Cornett territory where 30 years ago, he only played 31 games with the Bucks. He only played 1 year of NBA basketball, period. But there is a reason why I'm pulling this name. So I'm going to see if you know it. The guy's name, it's kind of a standard name, so this is another reason why it may not be as familiar to Bucks fans. Mark Davis. Mark Davis. 31 games in the 1988-89 season. Jim, do you have any idea why this might be my guy this week?
No, that's and that small. I'm sure I have a pro or a NBA hoops pro set card, whatever basketball card that was in 88-89. Maybe I have one of that guy. Maybe, but I no, that's a name I do not know.
Sure, and I understand why. I am borrowing from another part of another fragment of the Wisconsin sports fabric here. Mark Davis today is the father of one Johnny Davis, the Wisconsin Badgers scoring star, who is lighting up college basketball. He's a National Player of the Year contender. Johnny Davis, sophomore with the Badgers, his twin brother Jordan, also on the team, coming off the bench. But Johnny Davis is a Naismith Player of the Year candidate. He has been tearing it up. The Badgers won 3 games this past week, including at Purdue, the night that the Bucks were somehow losing to Detroit. Another improbable outcome was going on when the Badgers were winning in Lafayette at number 3 Purdue, and Johnny Davis scored 37 points in that game. Johnny Davis is ridiculous. His dad was also very good. No, nothing wrong. He made the NBA, but obviously at this point Johnny Davis is trending toward a lottery pick. Mark Davis was a 4th round pick by the Cleveland Cavaliers back in 1988. He's from Virginia. He went to Old Dominion. He's 6'6". He's a guard. 4 points per game, 1.2 rebounds, averaged 8.1 minutes, slightly less than Paul Mokeski on that team, a little more than Tito Horford, guy who was mentioned last week. Mike Dunleavy was on that team too, at the back of the bench. He made the team out of camp. But he was waived in December to make room for, I think Jeff Grayer was coming off of injury or something. And then he ended up playing 2 games with Phoenix, actually, and then going to the CBA to play with La Crosse, which is I think, key because Johnny Davis went to La Crosse Central High School. So at some point, he settles down in La Crosse. I have to think that this played some hand in that, although I don't have a direct line necessarily, but assumptions can be made. And then he came back to the Bucks. He's re-signed in January. Again, he did play in 31 games, had a very nice preseason, was really good that year, scored 19 points against the Bulls. Michael Jordan only played half that game. This was a preseason game. But he ended up I think his career high was 17 points in one game. That might have been against Charlotte. He did end up playing 13 seasons of pro basketball, although most of them outside the NBA. My favorite thing, though, is extraordinarily random. As I was looking through our archives, I was looking for information on Mark Davis. There is not much. He was only here for a short time. But I did find a story on the front page of the Journal Sports section. I don't remember if it was Journal or Sentinel, to be honest. This is in 1988, about his big game, preseason game against the Bulls. And next to him, the big picture on that page is a high school football photo. And in that photo is a player named Tom Kelenic of New Berlin Eisenhower, completely unrelated to Mark Davis, completely. It just happens that they were side by side on this page of the Journal or Sentinel, I don't remember which, that I was looking at. Tom Kelenic is the father of Jared Kelenic, who is currently with the Seattle Mariners, one of the top prospects in Wisconsin baseball history, top 10 pick of the Mets. He just made it to the big leagues this past year, had an up and down season, but the Mariners are hugely on the rise. Jared Kelenic is on the rise. Tom Kelenic is the architect of Five Diamonds out in Waukesha. So two guys who have sons that are lighting it up in sort of the Wisconsin sports orbit. Jared Kelenic obviously plays for Seattle, but like I just found that interesting, completely random, something nobody else has noticed until now, nor will notice again. But I did enjoy that. So a brief look at Mark. I might have just said Mark Smith, Mark Davis, Mark Davis. Our one quick buck for the week. Any other thoughts, Jim?
No, that's a heck of a web of 5 degrees of newspaper print, and no, that's impressive.
This is why I love this segment, because that is my jam. That is my vibe, going as deep into the archives and finding random, completely unrelated connections in some cases like that. But there he is, Mark Davis, his son, Naismith Player of the Year, maybe, for the Wisconsin Badgers. Crazy, crazy time. Johnny Davis is taking a major step forward. All right, without further ado, we move on to What's Making Jim Mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I am very disappointed.
I'm upset.
Louder!
I'm upset.
Say it louder!
I'm upset.
That's my secret, Cat. I'm always angry.
What's making Jim mad?
Yeah, I'm going to combine a couple of my favorite things that make me angry, which is the two ways I travel the most. And that is, of course, via car and via plane.
And not boat like Clay Thompson, not boat.
Right, not boats. I'm not a boat guy. It just dawned on me that these are two very similar things and things that make me mad. And one is when people listening to this in Wisconsin are very familiar with road closures, one lane being closed, having to merge to the open lane, and how people don't quite understand the concept of the zipper merge, that you if you're in the lane that's going to close, it is your right and you should continue in that lane until it ends. The people who are in the right lane and the clear lane are then supposed to allow you to merge in. It's called the zipper merge. And if you do this at the appropriate speed, you just keep going. Like, you're not supposed to stop, and yet it creates disaster because people try to get over, people don't want to let you over, even though rules of society dictate, like, that's just, we're all going. And where this also translates to the airplane, JR, are the people who just immediately jump up out of their seat as soon as the plane pulls into, like, we're not going anywhere. Right,
you are 10 minutes away at best,
and we're all in the rows, and no one can run through the thing first. If you just exit the way you with your bag, robot, like, we all get out of the plane, and we don't have to stand there waiting. Like, so I realized that's why we'll never like get out of planes easily or merge appropriately, because there's just some human fundamental lack of understanding of how these things can work. Like, it drives me nuts on both levels. So that's why I've experienced these just recently, JR, and it reminded me, you know what, let me combine them together, because it does make me mad.
I've experienced both those things recently as well, and I have thoughts. Yeah, the airplane is funny. It's like people are in an Uber state of mind. Oh, my Uber's here. The plane's, you know, stop moving. I could just hop out the door, you know? Like, no, you got 10 minutes, like, minimum before things are going to happen. So just, like, chill, relax. It sucks. Like, nobody wants to be sitting in a non-moving aircraft and not, like, making progress toward, you know, depart, I guess. But the zipper merge is, you know, in retrospect, we probably should have known that humanity wouldn't be ready for things like masking and things where they, you know, even if science tells them one thing is the proper course of action, that people are going to naturally, you know, bristle against that. Zipper merge, I feel like I've evolved as a human in my thoughts. I mean, when I was a high school kid, I wouldn't dream of tolerating letting people just sit in that lane until the last second and then dive in. No, sir. No, thank you. Get in line. That was my point of view. But then, you know, after hearing people talk about it, it's like, oh, wow, it really is more beneficial to all involved if everybody does stay in that right lane and we just, you know, kind of like go back and forth and figure it out, right? Like, so I feel like I've evolved as a person, but also I am nervous about doing that because I know people aren't going to let me in. I know people are going to take exception, even though I'm doing what's prescribed by traffic officials. It's prescribed by everybody, but I'm going to piss off a motorist. And that motorist is either going to be right ahead of me or right behind me. And I don't want motorists pissed off at me in my immediate close vicinity. So I'm also cautious of that as well. Sometimes it's like, just bite the bullet here. You got an opening. Yes, it's not the most efficient or the best, but like, it'll save you some hassle. But people don't, you know, they just refuse to accept that it is the right way to do things, to have two lanes until one goes away, until the very bitter end. People cannot grasp that. They can't come to terms with the fairness aspect, I guess, of like waiting your turn, waiting in line. I don't know what that is. It's really hard to suspend that when you're driving. Like, for God's sakes, who cares who goes first, you know? We're talking about a matter of milliseconds that you're saving by barging in front of one car or not letting somebody in or whatever. Like, just be kind. Just figure it out.
We would all get to where we're going faster if we all sort of understood this thing. So it invariably, the I'm not going to let you in, or I'm going to, like, just delays everything even more. Like, that's the mind blowing part of all of that. Right. Like, yep. It's just, it actually will get us to where we need to go faster. Yet our anger at others creates more anger. And look, I'm angry all the time. I'm here for anger management and whatnot, but it's just that's an instance where I think we could all help ourselves a little more.
Yeah, it's hard because we can only see in short-term spurts. We can only see that it slows us down this second. We cannot picture that it's going to help us in the long run or help everybody in the long run, which is even harder for people to grasp. We know this over the last 2 years. What's good for the group is not necessarily what is good for the mindset of each individual human. That's just humans. Humans. Let me ask, though, before I let you go, any last thoughts before we move on for the week?
No, just as always, you know, thanks for listening. Head over to jsonline.com/deal. Got some deals going on. You can get all of our coverage. JR, you mentioned the Packers making this run. You can subscribe to Journal Sentinel, subscribe to Packers News. You can get all of that stuff. Of course, all of our other local coverage as well.
Packers playoff season, the best and most fraught time of the year for Wisconsin sports fans. Always exciting, always nerve-wracking, but lots of great coverage from Tom Silverstein, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood, Cassidy Hill over at jsonline.com. You've got to sign up. How have you not signed up already if you are into Packers coverage? And then the Badgers are good, man. Jeff Patrick is covering the Badgers basketball team. Obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks as well. We got no baseball, so these things have to carry us until baseball comes back, and we've got some fun stuff ahead. He is Jim Ozarski, Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know that you love us. You can find me on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. Find him at Jim Ozarski, and we will talk to you again next week. Ta-ta!
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com productions.